Praise God.
Glad everybody's here with us today. Hope you had a blessed week. Hopefully be blessed continuing by this message. Let us pray, and we'll start off with a review of relationship with Christ. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we just thank you once again for coming here, dear Lord, in order to receive your word, in order to grow in what you say, dear Lord, and to be led by your spirit. Help us to walk in such a way that we're a light to others we come in contact with, that we encourage others within the body. Help us to keep looking towards you, dear Lord, doing everything to glorify you, dear Lord, and not allow any distraction to get in our way. As we start, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by you, presenting your word in a way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. We want to make sure we get out the way and allow you completely, dear Lord. So we come in for your message, for your guidance, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. So now, one thing I want to make sure everybody understands in this, if up to now in this message, you, let's say, don't feel any closer or an understanding of what your relationship is, one of the main reasons that could be is because you haven't changed your basis. Now, that would go with anything in our Christian walk. What is your Christianity based on? What is the motivation or the thing that everything stands on when you talk about this relationship with Christ? And unfortunately, most of our relationship is not based on Christ, it's based on us. Now, we'll say we still have a relationship with Christ, but it'll still be based on us. I told y'all when my granddaughter was younger, and when she would ask for something and she would say no, we would say no to her, she would go, "But I want it." Now, in her response, she's thinking, "Wait a minute, I asked for this and I want it, so that your answer needs to change to fit because it's based on me." Now, of course, as a parent, we will go, "I don't care what you want. I said no." We reestablished what the relationship was based on. As the parent, we are the basis for this relationship. So if we don't understand that, we struggle with God. You know how many times I've heard people say, "Well, he's my father. He's supposed to do this. God's going to do that. I can't see God doing this." And they'll say stuff not out of his word, out of what they think God should be, not what God said. So if you already haven't, I implore you to make sure you reestablish the basis for your relationship. He is the basis. We learned that in the first week, and we're going to see that in a review. But I just want to make sure anyone who's missing out on that realizes, wait a minute, I have to reestablish my foundation. So let's see how this works. First of all, Christ invites, and this is going over our view, Christ invites the weary and the burden for us to be renewed. Now, you have to recognize that you're weary and burdened. Every one of us is weary and burdened, but you have to recognize you're weary and burdened in order to really come to him. He says, "And you know, I will give you rest." But if I don't realize I need rest, I won't come seeking rest. You know, some people go just through the emotions of saying a few words, wanting to be a Christian, then they go back to living their lives. But if I don't realize I'm weary and burdened, what those mean, I'm not going to benefit from this relationship. Christ must be our lives, not just a part. Stress that again. He must be our lives. Too many times as Christian, he's part of a checklist instead of everything you do. Every interaction, every aspect, everyone you touch has to be based on 100% Christ. If not, that puts your Christianity into question. It puts your relationship into question. We must live, watch this, rooted and built up in Christ. The rooted means, and as you think of a tree, the only reason why that tree is alive is usually based on what we don't see. Its roots, which are in the ground, and all of its nourishment and everything comes from that root. Yeah, it gets some things from the sun, of course, but most of what makes it live is what it's rooted in. And if the ground is giving it all that it needs, that tree will live and it'll thrive. Same thing with us. If I'm not rooted in Christ, there's going to be a problem in my relationship. Rooted means that's where I get my nourishment, my guidance, my every reason that I do. If I get it from anything else, I'm dying. And it's the thing that has to build me up, not me. This is why it's very important that I don't build you up in your confidence, in what you do and how you feel, you got to be built up in Christ. And that's a very important part. A lot of us mess up because the minute life doesn't go the way we want, we're let down. And then we want to, you know, give up and leave, and we struggle, not realizing, but it was never meant to be built on what I feel. It has to be built on Christ. That's why Job was able to respond the way he did when he lost what we would call everything. Do y'all get this? Because he was rooted in God. And that's how we should be. All of our relationships must be based on Christ. That's what I started this with. All relationships, your marriage must be based on Christ. How you raise your children must be based on Christ. All your friends, your partnerships, your jobs have to be based on what Christ is, not what you say. Do you understand this? Reestablish, if you would go and look at your relationships and just reevaluate, are they in line with God? You'd be surprised. Every time I've done that, I'm like, oh, I got to change this one. I got to readjust this one. Because sometimes I'll react based on how I feel until I look at, oh, that's not what he says. Do y'all get this? And you have to readjust based on him. Our relationship with Christ is foolishness to the world. Okay? So it's not going to make sense. It's going to fully be a spiritual thing that the world can't get. So stop trying to turn it into a worldly relationship. And that's where we mess up. We see worldly relationships, and by sight, makes sense. So next thing you know, we try to mold this truly spiritual relationship that Christ has made and remold it into a worldly relationship, which is corrupt. Why? Because the world itself, this makes no sense. You get where I'm going with this? Our relationship requires Jesus being our Lord and us living in belief. This is a statement we have people make in order to get saved, not realizing it's a description of a person accepting salvation. When it says confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, because it lets us know what we confess, we are in agreement with. When I say he's my Lord, that means I do what he says. As Jesus did, I do exactly what my Father tells me. And we live in belief. Remember, the best definition for belief is your faith in action. I think all of us can say, yep, I believe what his word says. But it's meaningless, as it says in James 2, if I don't display I believe in what his word says. Does that make sense? You understand? So belief is my faith in action. It's my works showing that I truly believe. So that's going to describe my life. I'm doing exactly what he says, and my actions are showing the faith I have in him. We are doomed if we don't have a relationship with Christ. So either you have a relationship or you don't. Those are the only two groups. There is no middle group. Do you understand that? And if you don't have this established relationship, you don't have a relationship. All right. I don't want to water it down to make some people feel good because they think they have a partial relationship or they have their own relationship. Either you have what he says is the relationship or you do not. We must all realize we are totally helpless without Christ. Now, what Satan wants you to believe, and he did it from the beginning, as he told Eve, he wants you to look at it as, I got this. God must have made a mistake. Or we like to look at God as a helper. You know, I mean, that's like I said, people used to wear bumper stickers or have bumper stickers on their cars. God is my co-pilot. That sounds cute, but it's foolish. He better be flying that plane. He better be driving that car. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? Totally depending on him, not him just as a helper, because I don't want to be the one who's independent, just looking to him for help. I want to fully depend on him. He has to be my strength. That's why it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not as I'm strengthened, I look for Christ at times when I need him, right? He's not something you pull off the shelf when you need. He must be every aspect of everything that you do. Then we seen last week, to know we have a relationship with Christ, we must have a godly relationship with the body. That's first. Keyword, godly. Some of us have personal relationship with the body, emotional relationship with the body, and all of those are nice, but that's not what he's talking about. Okay. And that's why we usually mistake fellowship for us getting together and enjoying each other's company. Once again, that's fine. But a godly relationship has accountability, has understanding, has encouragement, has a lot of stuff that we should have with one another. Once again, based on Christ, not your version. It has to be fully based on him. So in other words, if you see me having this relationship, that's a major part of our relationship with Christ, is our godly relationship with the body. Also, we have to know the difference between true and false knowledge. This is a challenge because you have people who accept so much garbage today, and you kind of look, and you know how many times I heard somebody say, I went and I heard the word and they preached the word. Okay, what did they say? And then they start talking and you're going, so where's that at in the Bible? Simple answer, simple question, I mean. Where's that in the Bible? And what's frustrating is we tend to accept things without checking them. We'll say amen to almost anything without checking it. Even though the Bible warns us, please know when you're being taught falsely. But you still get those who just, oh yeah, man, they really preached. What do you mean by that? Are you really checking this? And this is the reason why a lot of us lack that relationship, because we're getting some word mixed with a whole lot of garbage. Also, we remove anything that stops us from knowing him. Now, this means both getting the wrong information. We make sure that's not the part, but also, how many of us do we allow our life to get in the way, our relationships to get in the way, our feelings to get in the way? What I mean by that is, I know I should be studying. I know I should be applying it. I know I should be meeting with the body. Why not? Well, I've been busy. That's been my answer. So what do you need to do? Some just go, well, God understands. It's not about understanding. This is your responsibility. Remember, he gives us church for us. Think of it this way. It's like I told you, you're still going to be responsible for the test. He gives you all the study things and the classes to go over and the book to study it in order to help you pass the test. But you choose not to do it. You can make every excuse. Oh, I was too busy to do it. You still got to take the test. Do y'all get this? All right. My life is based on this. So my time I spend with other Christians, my time I spend in the church, my time I spend in the word, if I notice something is stopping that, I better get rid of that something or readjust that something. I can't use that something as an excuse. It will not fly. Y'all hear me? You take every opportunity to get God's word and use Christ to recognize Christ. Use Christ. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? A lot of times you'll hear people definition or description of Christ coming from a man, coming from some book, and has nothing to do with Christ. People are reinventing, redistributing, distorting Christ. Like I said, we have now conservative Christ, in which they take on Christ and he has their attribute and feels that they feel. And then you have liberal Christ, in which he takes on their feelings and he takes on their stops and what they want. And none of them have anything to do with Christ. We only have to simply go in the word to check Christ. Does that make sense? Christ will tell us who Christ is. If you stay in the word, you will know when it's from Christ and when it's not. It's really not that hard. Okay. It's hard because we don't always like the answer, if we're being honest. We sometimes like these false Christs because they hit our desired spots. Also, evidence we know, we do know him is this. These are the things that I need to look in myself to make sure that I do have a relationship with him. And they all came in this group. First, obeying his commands. Simply put, first of all, I got to know his commands in order to obey his commands. If his word tells me to love my enemies, question, are you loving your enemies? Now, are you one of those people that say, I love my enemies, I invite everybody over? Is that loving your enemies? That's the question. What does it mean to love? Do you understand what love means? Y'all see where I'm going with this? How can I obey his commands if I don't know his commands? And do I know his commands? And am I following his commands? Or am I just calling myself a Christian and patting myself on the back doing what I think is best? Am I displaying real love? We have a lot of fake imitations of that word love, which have nothing to do with what true love is. 1 Corinthians 13 is a good basis. If you don't have that full package, it's not love. And if you're not doing it, it's not love. Okay? So you have any other thing that you've been calling love, it hasn't been love. Well, people don't realize, before a person became a Christian, even how I loved my family wasn't real love. It's called stergo love. You know what I mean? It was that relationship love. It was that dependence on love. You know, it was because I was supposed to, or called natural love, right? But it wasn't agape love, because you didn't know God, and God is love. So if I'm truly having a relationship, you'll see me display God or love, as he puts it out there. We're not continuing in sin. You can't be a Christian and still living in sin. which doesn't mean you're not going to sin and fall every once in a while. It doesn't mean that. It means you have, there's a thing in your life that defines you, from sleeping around, from still stealing, and from working at a job that's doing something that's against God. If I'm doing stuff and I'm still doing that stuff, even after I get saved, I really didn't get saved. Did y'all catch that? No, it's not now that I am saved. I'm still out doing the junk I was doing without any change and still being called a Christian. I'm going to be one of those that are going to say, Lord, he's going to go, I never knew you. Simply put, you understand that? That's why God says, don't be deceived. Even though many are teaching that, they say, because you said those words, it's by faith, you're good, but you just won't get the benefits. You'll lose gifts. It's not what the Bible says. Bible says you can be sure of this. It says no impure, no adulterer, no sexually immoral, right? It goes no liar, no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. He made very clear on this. And we still got people that are living that, fully accepting it, still calling themselves Christian. That's a major problem. And it's not that. Doing righteous things. What does it mean to do right? That's a whole sermon in itself. So if I'm doing right, then I am a Christian. He says two things, either you do wrong or you do right. He says to do wrong people are from the devil, to do right people are from God, plain and simple. So are you doing right? Now, I bet you we have people go, yeah. So if they ask me, prove it. That means you'll be able to show what you're doing is fully in line with God's word. Once again, very simple. We struggle because we do stuff that seems right, not is right, instead of following him. Doing for those in need, very important. Doing for those in need. First of all, checking those in need and making sure we're doing it based on God, but making sure we're doing it. The church should be the biggest and the most consistent giver to those in need, but doing it in a Christian way, not my way. See, sometimes we do what I call patting yourself on the back giving. Well, I gave this to say that I gave, not really gave in order to help. Does that make sense? Sometimes our helping just keeps them where they're at instead of us truly saying, hey, what can we do to help? What are we doing as Christians to truly help them? And then enduring until the end. Enduring until the end. Some people were Christians. I went to a couple of funerals in which I would hear the minister say, well, you know, they were Christian from 20 to 35. And you're like, well, what happened? They're 50 years old when they die. Well, but they're still a Christian. There's a problem with that. The Bible has many places, you look it up, where it says only those who endure until the end. Christianity isn't some badge you get once a Christian, always. And I know we want to call that. And I know it feels good, but many have fallen away is what the Bible calls it. The one word says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of Christ than to have known it and turned their backs on it. Why would it have been better if they're still going to heaven? Have you ever asked that question? That's in 2 Peter 1, if you want to check that, or 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. And you understand that, and it's way down in verse 20-something. And going on, and finally, and living in complete trust in Christ. Living in complete trust. Complete trust, the one verse in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, where it lets you understand, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. Now, just saying that should open up everybody's eyes to understand. Because what we tend to do is we follow Christ in our understanding. He'll say something, it's clear in the word, but it doesn't make sense to us because it doesn't fit the way we understand. Instead of just doing what he says, we go, well, until it fits what I want, or I'm going to do it this way because this makes sense to me, instead of doing exactly what he said. What's the problem? These are evidence and things that we have to have. And we know we have a relationship if we follow those other things. So now, what do we need to do to have this relationship with Christ? Now, here's what we need to do then. Okay, so you've seen the evidence. You've seen the things that need to follow you. So here are the actions, the things you need to actually do to have this relationship with Christ, to have this established relationship with him, as we're all supposed to have in order to be a Christian. First of all, we must first recognize our relationship with Christ is full dependence on Christ. Remember, the world's way of maturing is independence. I want to be fully on my own doing what I think, follow my ways. That's the world's way. That's a fleshly way. God's way is food dependence. Do y'all get this? This is in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, which I just went over, and I can do it in clear understanding. This package here truly shows 100% dependence on him. Now, are we doing this? Look what he says. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means every ounce of your purpose has to be based on what he says. He says, go left. I go left. Not partial left. Not halfway left. You know what I mean? I fully turn left. I'm just going in his word to do what he tells me. That's why he adds, and lean not on your own understanding. He told me the problem here is going to be my understanding. You know how many times we'll get the word, we kind of look at God like, what? Now, that's okay with you going, I don't get it, while you're doing it. But when I don't get it, I stop until I get it. And this is where a lot of us are. We won't grow anymore because I don't get it. It doesn't fit what I get. Until I see it, God, I'm not doing it, is what we do. And that's the problem. That means you're telling him, I don't trust you. Am I right? You're saying, no. Until I see it, I'm going to stop. And that's what we're doing. But he told you, lean not upon your own understanding. Because your own understanding is based on flesh. It's based on worldly wisdom, which is not wisdom at all. To trust in him is to seek him, to follow what he says, period. If Christians would do this, this would solve so many problems. He goes in and he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So before I do my hair, before I put on my clothes, did I check with him? What does that mean, Pastor? Remember it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So are you drinking to the glory of him? Are you eating to the glory of him? How you deal with situations, is it all to the glory? In other words, would he be able to say, Keith, the way you picked up that pencil glorified me? What does that mean? But I have to acknowledge him first. That means I'm in the word to understand everything to represent him. And it says, and he will make your path straight. Do y'all get this? I think by now most of us use GPS. And like I said, the GPS tells you to turn. In the past, and I was one of those, used to question it. Why is it making me go this way? Why? I don't understand. Sometimes I would question and go, oh, I'm going straight. Traffic jam. Oh, and I know it wanted to go, instead of going recalculate, it was going to see. That's why I'm doing my job, you do your job, right? But no, I was questioning because I thought, I wouldn't go this way. And we tend to throw that out there because we know better. And we do the same thing with God. He tells me, love your enemies. He tells me, love my family this way. He tells me as a husband to love my wife. And when I readjust any of those, later on I'm hearing, see? Because I messed up. Even when it looks like it worked. Did y'all get that? Even when it looks like it worked, when you didn't do what he says, but it looks like it worked, you've been set up. I can assure you of that. Okay, based on God's word, you've been set up. When smoking came in the scene, a lot of weird drugs and stuff came out there. It made people feel comfortable. It looked like it was a good thing. Now we're doing everything we can to get rid of that dangerous drug that is hurting so many people and have hurt so many people. Not only the people that are doing it, but the people that are around the people that are doing it. But at the time it seemed. That's why it says there's a way that seems right. We mess up because we're not truly acknowledging him and just trusting in what he says. He makes very clear in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. What that showed me is, I'm not trying to build up a Keith wisdom. I'm not trying to build up how I think. I'm trying to build up how I listen to him. Think about that. See, a lot of us go by our experiences. I went through this and this didn't work and I did this and this worked. So now I'm going to share this with you. So many ministers sometimes make the mistake. We get up here and we preach experience. Unfortunately, experience is from my wisdom based on me. It may have seemed like it worked, but is it really from God? Does that make sense? I've heard people give financial advice that at the time may have made them money. And then when I go in the word, it's not what it told me to do. Bible talks about sharing. Bible talks about giving to him. Bible talks about how we're supposed to deal with our finances. That's not what experts would tell you and their experience. And a lot of us follow the experts. I mean, if we're being honest, most of us go to, when we go to any type of counseling, and including financial counseling, we'll go to worldly ones, if we're being honest. And even if you go to a worldly one, then you don't check it with God, do you? Well, my counselor says, wait a minute, well, where's God says? Yeah, but my counselor says, God is not going to go, oh, as long as you listen to your counselor. Do y'all get this? Okay, he is the way, and you're listening to the wrong way. He has to readjust that. He has to fix what you're getting. That's why he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And this part is so necessary. Fear God, or fear the Lord, and shun evil. If we fear him, you would go to that counselor. They would say all this stuff, and you go, okay, as long as none of it goes against God, but anything goes against God, you can keep telling me what to do. I will not be doing it. Did y'all catch that? Right? Person had a financial counselor that says, you need to stop giving that whole tithe thing. Person was like, thank you. And they kept giving because that's what the word says. But you get some that go, my counselor told me to stop giving. As a pastor, if somebody told me that, I'm like, okay. Because remember, your tithe is between you and God. And is your relationship between you and God. So this whole package here is a showing of full dependence on him. And are we living by what he says? Or by what we see or by what others say. So that's the first thing. You got to recognize that relationship is a full dependence. You don't see this as much today. Too many people add their two cents. Too many people add their stuff in there. And we look back and because so many of the world are doing it, we're going, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. Also, know that everything we need is provided by our relationship with him. Everything you need to be a Christian only comes through your relationship with him. Watch what he says in 2 Peter 1:3-4. He says, his divine power has, that means when you become a Christian, you have access already, has given us everything. So he didn't give you some, and then you got to work hard to get more. No, you have access now to everything you need for what? For life, to live the life you're supposed to, and godliness, to be what you're supposed to as a Christian. So can't nobody say, well, he gave you more than he gave me. Nope. Because every one of us have everything. So how then do I get this box with everything I need to live my life I'm supposed to and to be godly? How do I do with it? Watch this. Through our knowledge of him. Did y'all catch that? Through our knowledge. How do I access it? Through my relationship with him. If I have no relationship, I have everything and have no idea how to use it. Do y'all get this? How many times I went to Home Depot and I seen a gadget and go, I want that gadget. What do you use it for? I have no idea. Right? Until I get some sort of relationship with the instructions or somebody to show me how to use it, no clue. Absolutely. And the same way, you can sit there and call yourself a Christian all you want, but this stuff that he has given you as a Christian is going to be meaningless if you're not going and gathering in order how to use it. It said through our knowledge of him. And it made sure, remember, he did this not for us. It says, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. I'm going to be able to, you're going to be able to overcome things that you in the world cannot. Do y'all get this? Me by myself, I cannot overcome it on my own. You cannot, I don't care how strong you say you are and become, cannot overcome it on your own. It has to be through him. And then I can escape the corruption in the world that caused the world caused by evil desires. And the reason why I put a star there, because evil desires is what destroyed the world. The world is in the position it's in, not because of Satan, because of desires. Because Satan wouldn't have been able to budge if it wasn't for our desires taking ahead. Now, if we're being honest, what leads you? Is it Christ or is it your desires? How is your relationship with others? Is it based on your desires or is it based on Christ? Your finances, how do you deal with them? Is it based on Christ or is it based on your desires? What leads the way in your decision-making? Christ or your desires? Something, what's and? Christ and my desires, right? Only if Christ is your desire. Your fleshly desire is not Christ. Let me make sure you understand that. And that's why I must devote my life to knowing him in order to access the all-provided strength supplied by God. If not, I'll do it based on what I want not on, but he says. This is why we have these mixed up relationships on Christ. I'm working on a Bible study to show us, and it's going to be called, for right now, God willing, the body based on Christ. It's a simple comment, but one thing that the church, and I'm talking about all Christians, should be struggling with is, why are we so separate? Have you sat back and said, why are there so many different churches out there with so many different beliefs, going so many different ways, but we all call ourselves Christian? Isn't that concerning? I mean, now the answer is clear, but we don't like that answer because it's going to come down to, yeah, some of the things you believe, you got to let go of and take on the true belief. You're like, no, I'm going to get with people that believe the same thing I believe, and we're going to form a church. So in the same way, until we let go of desire, I can't have relationship. If I don't have relationship, then I'm doomed. Now, humans have the habit of trying to do this on their own. As you just heard me say, you can't. And this is why God warns that we alone will not succeed. Romans 3, 23 through 24, he makes very clear, because I know some tend to think that we are a step further than others in the world. And then we'll do stuff step further than others in the world, thinking because we got it. Not realizing none of us are a step further than others in the world. What he says in Romans 3, 23 through 24, he says, for all have sinned. He's even talking about those who haven't been born yet. He said, oh, no, they're going to sin. He was like, and fall short of the glory of God. There is nobody that crossed that line. Even those of old that he, like Enoch and, we know, Abraham and Moses and Isaiah, we know of those, but it wasn't because they were righteous. No, they were all credited due to their faith, credited righteous. They was given something they couldn't do on their own. Bible tells us, because the word all here, he's saying, no, all of them done it. They all fell short. And it was through his mercy and his grace that we get included in righteousness. It goes to say they all fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely, watch this, by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Everybody get that? Okay, now in knowing that, I can take absolutely no credit. He didn't go, man, the world's all messed up. Oh, except for Keith. Even Job fell short. But if you looked at Job, he was giving sacrifices for his kids. He would do everything in line with God. So he was definitely credited. Do y'all get this? He lived for God despite all the destruction and stuff that happened. Some of us, like I said, we stub our toe. God, I'm done. We take a break from God. And I told you, I know people, and I'm sure you've done this. You have people in your life that are Christian, but one small thing happened, you know they're leaving. So you got other Christians, be careful what you say. Don't they're going to leave it. God's like, oh no, I'm going to shake them up. I only want those who are earnestly seeking me. I don't want those who are hanging on by their own thread, because that means they're really not hanging on. Do y'all get this? He wants those who are fully in. He said, I'm giving you everything to stay in. So if you're holding on barely, that means you're not in. You see the problem here? So that's why he gives us trials. That's why he gives us hardships, because he only wants those who stay in. It's a choice that we have to make. So we understand we can't do it. We've already failed. We need him. So grace provides us with the instructions for divine living, which produces solid relationship. So we have to follow what grace teaches us. Look what it says in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, okay? So, because in that one we just read, where it says his divine power has given us everything, we have to understand and recognize he gives us instruction now. This whole passage gives us instruction and guidance on how this works. He says in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, for this very reason, make every effort. Let me stop there for a minute. For this very reason, make every effort. Are we doing that? Or do we have our schedule and fit God in? Or do we go out of our way to get God? Think about that. Do we really just fit God in when conveniently? Or do when we see that opening, man, I'm going to get God. This is my life. What? You're doing what? Bible study? Wait, we're doing what? We're going over what? Right? When I'm making every effort to do this, then I do it. I'm going out of my way to make sure this is a genuine part of my life every day. If not, once again, I'm missing out. But he says, make every effort to do what? First, add to your faith goodness. And I'm not going to go through each piece. We've done a whole sermon on this, and we'll do it again, God willing, in the future. Where he says, add to your faith, because that's where it all starts, goodness. And if you notice, I'm adding these things. Adding to your goodness, knowledge. And to your knowledge, self-control. And to your self-control, perseverance. And to your perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And then not only does he give me the ingredients, the order of when to add them and how to add them, he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So everybody has to go out and buy a measuring cup that's called increasing measure. Not just two cups, it'll say increasing. So as you're pouring it in, it keeps adding. So I got to do this every day. For somebody who said they went through this, they already added to their faith goodness, they already added to their goodness, and so on and so forth. He's saying, you got to keep doing it. That's why he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, you'll keep seeing this process happen every single day. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge. There's that relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all catch that? He just gave you the clear recipe for having that relationship. I have to do these things and I have to do them continually, and it has to grow every single day. Did y'all catch that? It's powerful. I remember the first time I read that, I was like, he gave us the answer, the complete answer. But we don't do it. No, we still come out with our own little, well, I love and I do this and I read my Bible and I want credit. Right? Even though he gave us the answer. And the reason why we're ineffective and unproductive is because we're not adding the ingredients to be effective and be productive. Powerful, isn't it? He was like, these will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But watch what he says. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Now, nearsighted, of course, means you can't see what's coming. You can't see far. Okay, that term means I can't see what's getting ready to happen to me. All right. And he uses both of these because he's saying you think things are going well by what you see close, and you're missing what's about to happen. I mean, I have a clear verse that makes me not nearsighted. That clear verse goes, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it brings death. Y'all get that? But you have still people that live off of the, but it looks like now it's working. But he already told you what's coming, but you're nearsighted, but it's working. And you miss it because you're nearsighted. And then your nearsightedness, you're blind. The word is very clear. It's sitting this is sitting here right beside you. You're reading it and you still don't see it. He was like, because we're not doing these ingredients, we're not applying them the way he has given them to us. He was like, he's nearsighted and blind, and watch this, and has forgotten he has been cleansed from his past sins. You still think you're the same person you were when you got saved, before you got saved. Then he makes clear, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Are you a Christian? Is what he's saying. Be all the more eager to make sure you're a Christian. Do y'all get this? Make sure. Don't just say, I'm convinced. How do you know? Are you sure? Right? He's like, for if you do these things, you will never fall. That's powerful wording. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That passage in itself has so much information. That in itself should be a lifelong thing that we're applying, because we're supposed to do it in increasing measure. We all have enough in this, just this selection, to go through a thing of what we should be doing every day. When we've done this, and we did it as a recipe, we broke down what is true faith, what is goodness. And everybody needs to look for that study. And once again, like I said, maybe we'll do it again this year. I guess even when we last did it. And understand, know each of these things and add them in order. I think it's called a recipe of perfection or ingredients of perfection, one of the two. But it's important that we do it, because he's giving us this ingredient. And this will keep you in that relationship with him. Powerful wording, man. This outstanding. He gives us this type of instruction and guidance. Now, we are commanded to grow in our knowledge of Christ. So just because you read the Bible, just because you know something, then you go back and you do it again. As a pastor, every time I go and I study, I still keep getting more. I still keep getting the same passage that I read before. I read it again and go, man, I'm still getting more. Anyone who gets settled and thinks, well, I'm a scholar now. Well, I got this figured out. No, you stopped. Growing, maturing is so important. There's some parts of the word you can't get until you mature. So I have to get what I get out of it now, mature, read it again, and I'll get a little more out of it. Read it again, and it's a maturing process. He says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just be in it, grow in it. Why do we have question and answer? Because it's going to start bringing up more questions. Amen. Right? And then you get what the word says on it. Then you grow a little more. You apply it. You live it. Okay. Then more questions. And then you'll grow a little more. And you see how that works? That's why it says in the end, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I'm not living to mature in Keith because I'll get settled. I'm doing better than other people. At least I'm not doing what the person down the street is doing. At least I'm not sinning this bad. I'll pat myself on the back. But when I'm living in him, I'll always go, man, why did he even offer me to be saved? Why do I even have a life that I do have? We understand mercy. Remember that verse says it's not dependent upon a man's desire and his efforts, but upon God's mercy. Do y'all understand what that verse means? How about the verse where it says, in the view of God, mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice? Why does he say mercy? Because he was like, y'all do understand, you've done nothing to make this for yourself. And actually, you've only made it worse. But due to his mercy, he's still giving you a chance. So stop doing it living entitled. You do it showing thankfulness. God, why are you doing this for me? Every morning, you should wake up going, wow. When I have an attitude with somebody, when I'm mad at somebody, when I treat somebody a certain way, I stop and go, oh, wait a minute. If anybody has a right to be mad, it's him. But he keeps showing me mercy. Do y'all get this? We must display that same mercy and stop living selfish. And the only way I'll know that is growing in his grace. I better be a little bit better than I am, better today than I was yesterday, and even more so tomorrow. Amen. Okay, so this maturity is a mandatory part of a Christian. Don't get settled because you said a few words and now you're called a Christian and you happen to go to church and it made you feel good. And you don't always just relate when they give relatable messages. Make sure they're giving you the word. We must be fed. Remember that whole rooted in order for us to grow in him. Make sure you get that. You have to understand that Satan's goal is to disrupt our relationship with Christ. So we must use what God has given us to stay firm in that relationship. You have to understand, remember, Adam and Eve had a relationship, established relationship. Basically, just do what I say. God had that. There's love. He told them what to do, be fruitful and multiply, take care of the land, gave instruction. That's relationship. They had that conversation. What did Satan do? Did God really say you can't eat off the tree? And instead of you going, let me check with God, you go, yeah, but you're right. It doesn't look that bad to eat off the tree. We do that same thing today. Well, the Bible does say that, yeah, but I can't see God really meaning that. I know people who are like this, so yeah, I struggle with this. So now I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go follow this church over here because they ignore this part and they receive and they accept everything. Or I'm going to lay down new rules and put out new things and standards. Where is that in the Bible? It doesn't matter because when we're doing it, we're more righteous. Well, I'm going to follow you. Based on what? That's all from Satan. And we just follow the lead instead of going, can you show me that in the Bible? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Please understand this. I don't deal with stress the way the world does. I don't deal with depression the way the world does. Oh, wait a minute. Problem is, we do. Even though he just said, we don't. All right? I don't deal with my problems in my family the way the world does. I don't deal with my finances the way the world does. Wait a minute. Yes, we do. This is where we're struggling. It says in verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. No, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What he's basically saying is if you have any type of addiction, this won't just help your addiction, this will eliminate your addiction. Some may go, well, why isn't it working? Because you're not using it. We're not. We're not living spiritually. We're fleshly living people who call ourselves Christians who try to apply the spiritual when it's convenient. Y'all got that? Reason why this divine power isn't working, because we're fleshly living people trying to apply the spiritual when convenient. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. The way you know it, you still live off of feeling, intellect, and culture, and ignorance. You'll still allow those foundations to play a part. You want God to change your feelings. You want him to give you intelligence based on you. You want him to fit your surroundings and where you come from. And you want him to just go off your ignorance of you not doing what you're supposed to. He said, on the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. He says, here are the weapons. This is the weapons. There's three of them that build up this one weapon. If y'all haven't seen this, first of all, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's weapon number one. That's for any spiritual force that comes from the outside in. So what he's saying, demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's two parts in that. Anything that stops me from getting God and anything that's not in or based on God. So somebody come and give me some new knowledge, right? Sounds great. First thing I go is, where's that in the Bible? Isn't that what you do, hopefully? Isn't that what the Bereans did? That's why they were called noble. It says, even Paul, they didn't go, Paul's a star. Paul's preaching. I'm saying amen. I don't have to check him because it's Paul. No, they said they went home, checked the word daily to see if what Paul said was true. Did y'all catch that? Us today, we still get caught up in certain books, certain people, certain songs. I enjoyed that. That was great. Did you check it? I mean, no. Did you really check it? And anything that keeps me, we talked about this a little earlier. Oh, I'm too busy. I got so much going on. I have so much. I don't feel this way. Anything that stopped me from getting to know God, oh, I got to get rid of that. That's weapon number one. I will be consistently getting God no matter what. And I'll get God based on God no matter what. That's weapon number one. Weapon number two, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, the first part of that is taking captive the thought. What it didn't say is being in denial of the thought. But that didn't bother me. I'm okay. Don't we do that? While inside, man, we are burning up, right? I got so many pet peeves. People do things and I feel irked. Y'all get this? Oh, I can't stand it when they do that. And I hate it when, and we feel that. Somebody asks you, okay, no, you're not okay. Now, what it doesn't mean is respond based on my pet peeves and what irks me. No, I grab them and go, yeah, that bothered me. Now I take it captive. Now, God, what do I do with this? Do y'all catch that? That thing irked me. How do I do it? Some things he's going to say, okay, can you deal with it? If a person gets on my nerves, be around them so your nerves don't have a say. Did y'all catch that? Right? You don't let your nerves dictate your relationships. Christ dictates your relationships. There was two people at work, I remember, and people don't go around them. And these people think we're best friends because I'm very nice to them. And I ain't gonna lie, they really bother me at many times. Sometimes they say some things that are really off base. But as time went on, you see a change. And I had to show kindness and I had to show love because that's what I have to represent Christ in that. But I'm not gonna lie, the feeling is, oh man, I wish they would just go away. And I'm sure people had that same feeling about me. Oh man, I wish he would just go away. Has nothing to do with my feeling, but I gotta take that thought captive and then say, okay, Christ, what do I do with this? Not just going, I'm okay. Because when you say I'm okay, you put it somewhere. And then when you explode one day, everybody's looking at you going, what's the matter with you? Well, you never dealt with it the way he said to deal with it. You're not okay. Then you become this angry. This is why people, when they become old, next thing they'll become cold and distant and all that. That's why, because they put all that stuff somewhere and then finally it bursts. And I'm done dealing with people. I'm done dealing with this way. God is not going, yeah, I understand. He's going, you were never following me in the first place. Now we have problems. Now you got to answer to Christ. And if your answer is, I was tired of being stepped all over and all the stuff that we do when we give our own me speech, he was like, you were supposed to take that and make it obedient in me. That's the second weapon. And then the third weapon is, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, this is for me to do with me and for you to do to you. Now, why am I saying that? Because I know there are people that have no problem telling me when I'm wrong. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. That's all great. Rebuking is good, but be careful. Do not be the one to pick out everybody else's when you've got a ton of problems on your own. Does that make sense? Rebuking doesn't mean I'm coming at you just to point yours out and I'm not dealing. That's why I say we will be punished every act of disobedience. So I'm checking me and Keith, how are you handling this? Okay. Now I was wrong. I got to punish that to make sure I don't encourage it. I don't go, well, you were tired. Well, you're worth it. Well, you're allowed to do that. I don't enable it. Is it wrong? Yes. Why are you doing it? These are the weapons we have to help us stay in Christ and stay protected. You don't use these weapons. You're outside of his protection. There's a verse that says, stay in God's love. The reason why we keep getting beat up is because we're stepping outside of his love. If I stay under the umbrella, I won't get wet. If I step outside of the umbrella, does my umbrella not work? No, my umbrella's working fine. I just stepped outside my umbrella, and we keep doing that. We step outside of God and get our butts kicked. And we come back, God, why'd you allow that to happen? He said, I didn't allow anything. You stepped outside. Do y'all get this? He gave us these weapons. Use these weapons. So understanding, breaking it down, destroy anything that goes against God and God's ways. That's the first thing. Anything that goes against God and goes against God's ways. If it stops you from getting God, and if it goes against what God says, if it's not in the Bible, it's done. Conversation's over. It's not, oh, I got to think about that. Oh, let me, I'll hear people reading stories and stuff. And you'll go, you know, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, but it was interesting. Okay, if you're okay, but I start seeing your life adjust to this book, you have a problem. You should have demolished that. Secondly, acknowledge and not be controlled by your feelings. Live for Christ despite our feelings. He said you're going to have feelings. Take them and make sure you're in control. I told you the best example for that is a diet. When you go on a diet, are you not hungry? Anybody who really went on a diet, you'll go, oh no, I'm hungry. But because you're on the diet, you don't eat, or you eat at certain times. That means you're in control of your body, not your body being in control of you. That's what he's saying. You're going to be emotional. So your emotions won't be control of you. You'll be in control despite your emotions. You're going to still feel certain ways. That's life. That's not going away. That's the flesh. But it won't dictate how you react. People are going to say things that are going to make you feel angry, but you're going to show love. Y'all see the difference? They're going to make you feel a certain way, but you're going to react based on what he says. Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. He felt, but he reacted through grace. He reacted through God's love. He went to the Father and prayed to him, not acted upon his feelings. He didn't say, y'all give me some drugs. Y'all got to give me something because I'm struggling here. He went, because I'm feeling this, I'm taking this to God because I don't want my feelings to take control of my walk. Did everybody get that? You'll see the power and the strength behind that, which is so important. And then diligently be responsible by living in obedience to God. I check myself and I don't enable. I don't give excuses. I just do what he says. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. I repent and I redirect. Repentance doesn't just mean sorry. Repentance means redirecting. It means this was wrong. I'm going back to go the right way. Y'all see this works? These are the weapons. These are spiritual weapons. Use them. And we must choose what will be our life purpose. And please understand this. There's only two choices. Okay? So you must choose between these two choices. That's why it says in Galatians 5, 16 through 15. We do a whole sermon on this day each year. It comes in different wordings. One's called fruit. The other one's living by the Spirit. And he says, starting Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, so I say, live by the Spirit. Wait, wait, wait. Why does he have to say that? Because what some people tend to think is I become Christian, I'm automatically spiritual, right? No. No, no, no. It's not what the Bible says. You now have full access to live by the Spirit, but it's still a choice. Do y'all get this? If I'm still living mentally, still living physically, allowing those urges and stuff to guide me, I'm not spiritual. So he's making this command, and he's telling you what'll happen. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Oh, wait a minute, the sinful nature still exists. However, it's no longer in control if I don't allow it. That means now I'm going to live fully based on what God says, and then I won't give in to what I feel. Did y'all catch that? This is a continual life movement. He says in verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That's why you can't be a carnal Christian. You ever hear that term? Now, usually they'll call a carnal Christian because you listen to music or you watch TV. That's nonsense. It has nothing to do with what carnal Christian is. A carnal Christian, in their definition, would be a person who is spiritually living worldly or going north-south. Now, I want you to go in your cars and try to drive north-south because you'll be sitting in the same place, right? There's no such thing as north. That's why you say they're contrary to the Spirit, and Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're going opposite ways. They are in conflict with each other. You can't be both. He was like, so that you do not do what you want. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay. He goes on to say the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. So what he's telling me, how do I know when I'm living fleshly? How do I know when I'm living spiritually? That's what this does. So he's saying, so if I'm living fleshly, you'll see sexual morality in my life, impurity. Once again, impurity is anything added to God's word. If I'm doing God's word, and that's impurity. Okay. Debauchery, that means living for self. If I have this do me mentality of my life, that's debauchery, plain and simple. Okay. Idolatry. When something else rules my life, this can even be as simple as my kids. I do it for my children. I do it for my family. That's idolatry. Okay. I go deeper in all these, but we're not. We do this when we do the sermon. Witchcraft. Any form of supernatural outside of God. Any form of supernatural. That's why when people go on drugs, that's why the word pharmaka, that's where that comes from. We go on drugs, they want a supernatural reaction in their life. You see that? Hatred. If you want to know what hatred is, in the same way we get a definition of love, go read 1 Corinthians 13 and be opposite of that. When I'm that means I'm hating somebody. When my actions show that. Hatred, discord, when I cause separation, when I'm always trying to get these little groups of my own separate from other. Jealousy, I react to people based on what they have that belongs to me. I want the same relationship they have with that friend. I want the same thing that they have in their life. Christ, why aren't you doing that in my life? Jealousy, that's bad. Fits of rage, that's when your emotions, you are emotional. You react out of your emotions. If you're known for that, that's a problem. Major problem. Oh, he snapped out again. Oh, they react. That's a problem. Nobody should lose their temper. There should not be. A Christian shouldn't be. Selfish ambition speaks for itself. If my sole purpose was because I wanted to, that's not a Christian. There's a problem. That's fleshly. Dissensions, when I'm looking to get into groups that are separate, not based on God. Remember, the body is a unit. So when I'm looking to separate the body, I'm not being a Christian. And factions, that's part of those same separate groups and things that cause those separate groups. Envy, that's when I'm upset at what you have that I don't have. You understand? Why did they get so much money? Why did they get a better job? How come their prayer was answered? Why are you friends in that way with them? Even though that's partly jealousy, it's something that I don't have. Relationships and stuff like that. Drunkenness, not just talking about intoxicant from drinking, that also includes drugs, any type of something that I use to just get away. It can even be food. It can be sex. It can be whatever I use as my getaway. And then it has orgies. And the word for orgies is just letting yourself loose. So it does include sex, but it's also what we do when we party and a sense of just letting go, right? He's saying, if this is stuff that describes you, you're not living spiritually. That's why he adds, and the like. For some of you going, "Woo, my list, it wasn't on." Yeah, it was there. It was there because it fits. Then he gives the exact opposite. And look what he says when he ends this. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He makes that very clear. He said, I'm warning you of this. I've warned you. And if you're living like this, there will be no excuse. Then he breaks it down and gives us the way we're supposed to live. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I can't stress this enough. Make sure you don't have any of the counterfeit versions of any of these words. Some of you think you're loving, and I don't know what you're doing, but it's not love. Some think you're patient, but I don't know what you're doing, but it's not patience. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Look at what the Bible says about patience, and then look at what you're doing. I talked to him twice. I'm not talking to him again. That's patience? Yeah. Before, I wouldn't talk to him at all. And that's what people say. We make up these things, and we now sign off. That's patience. Keith, you're a great man. And then God's going to go, where did I say that? Right? How many times did I tell you to forgive him? Well, I did it 5 times. Is that how many times? Y'all get this? We make up our own definitions and think it's going to fly with God. It will not work. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. Well, self-control. Against such, there is no law. He said, because those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. If you truly accepted Christ, your flesh would have no longer say. How come we don't hear that enough? I'm saying your flesh is still going to talk. It just won't have a say. You're still going to have your desires. It just won't have a say. Some of us are still trying to live for our desires and still be spiritual. That's why we're in terrible times. And that's why he ends it with this most important word. And this all speaks of our relationship. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? So if you're spiritual, every step you make better be based on the Bible. A good test, we were really testing ourselves, and somebody would go, okay, why did you do that? And your answer better be, because the word says. If it's, oh, because I thought, I felt, I didn't see a problem with, we still have a problem. Y'all get this? Excellent test. You did it every day. Let me think everything. How did I react to this? How do I do this? How do I go with this? And the answer should be in every case, well, because the Bible said, that's why I did it. But when your answer is anything else, you're not keeping in step with the Spirit. Amen? Once I allow Christ's blood to cleanse me, I must remove the acts of my human nature. This is something I have to choose to do. Once again, this is part of relationship. I am responsible for taking care of these things. Colossians 3, 9 through 15 says, do not lie to each other. These are plain and simple. You have taken off your old self with its practices, right? Because that's what you did, Christians, right? And put on the new self, with which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. If you put on your new self, he will transform you. If you haven't, you'll be the same old person. Y'all get this? Okay. And he says, verse 11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In other words, reason why we see Christ, we see churches separated by finances, we see churches separated by race, we see churches separated by area. And he was like, why? God was like, no, we should see Christians. We should see poor Christians hanging out with rich Christians. We should see Black Christians hanging out with white Christians, and the world should only see Christians. But what do we see? We see, oh, they go to that church. That's an affluent church. They have money. Oh, that's a poor church because they're in the hood. Oh, this is another church because they don't have that. Well, there's another church because they believe in this type of music. And you hear the separations, and we just accept it. And he just said, no, it's all in all in Christ. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. This is something we should be doing, y'all. This is what we should look like. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How? He just cleansed it. He didn't keep going back. Well, remember when you did that to me? Remember when you did that to me? Remember, remembering wrongdoings is to help the person out of it, not to keep punishing for it. He says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members, watch this, of one body, you were called to peace. Be thankful. This powerful thing is showing us how we're supposed to be as one body. He wanted different people coming from different places, different lifestyles, all to come together as one to show the world. Why aren't we doing it? Because we still keep allowing those things of the flesh to matter, don't we? Major problem. Major, major problem. Amen? And in order to make the right choice, we must cleanse our values. We must cleanse our values. Now, we're just about done, y'all, so let y'all know. I don't want to change this real quick. Yep. So after this, we got one more slide. In order to make our right choices, we must cleanse our values. Philippians 3, 7 through 11 says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, if you haven't done this, this is where, once again, you fail. And this is where I failed. This is where many of us have failed. Because we come in with value system. We come in with how things mean a lot to us, right? Some ways your family, some ways your careers, some it could be finances itself. Some things that mean a lot to you, you came in as a Christian and they still mean a lot to you and they still drive your life if you're being honest. So you want God to value them as much as you value them, not realizing God is the value. This is what is holding you back. Does everybody get that? Your struggle is you came in with these outside values and not grabbing on to the true value. He says in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What Paul is showing us, he says in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So my job will never get in front of Christ. My children will never get in front of Christ. My family will never get in front of Christ. My relationships, do y'all see where I'm going with this? He was like, oh man, if that gets in the way of my relationship with Christ, I'm in trouble, so I lose it. He says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. It says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to stop here. I want to go through this, and I'm going to stop here instead of going to the next slide. We'll start with that to end the series next week, God willing. But looking at what this is showing us is everybody needs to recognize what values have you had in your life? Are they the same values you had before you were a Christian? And are they in line with Christ? And what have you done with them? Because if they still exist, they're getting in the way of your relationship. I can assure you of that. Reason why we get into bad relationships, the reason why we raise our children wrong, the reason why we get into jobs that get in front of God is because we value them either equal to or more than God. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? And what Paul said, I had to first recognize I will lose this if it does anything with my relationship with Christ. So now how I am with my kids, how I am in my relationships, how I am in my job, how I am with my finances, if it's not in line with Christ, it's gone. Do y'all get this? It's gone. A gentleman, the job he was working at, not even going into what the job did, made him a lot of money. But he was like, but everything I'm doing here goes against what the word tells me to do. It was a no-brainer. He didn't go explain to his friends. And unfortunately, he should have other Christian friends going, praise God. But he just went and found another job, made a lot less money. Why? I'm supposed to glorify God. And it's a true story, because guy, it was in cigarettes. And he's like, the product we were selling, he was like, you'd come in, they give you a carton of cigarettes, even if you didn't smoke. He was like, everything. He said, the money I made was outrageous. He was like, but I went home every day going, I'm killing people. What's different than me and a drug dealer? He said, what's different than me? He said, I'm making a product that's killing people. And some would go, oh, you're creating jobs, you're doing this, but it's killing people. And he was going to this and he was getting bonuses and he was able to buy this big house. But him and his wife, praise God, Christians, was like, okay, let's start looking for another job. And I remember she started downsizing, knowing we're probably gonna have to get a smaller house. So they looked for selling. They already knew, I can't stay here. Do y'all get this? Now, as Christians, we usually reason around it. Well, God will change it. God will let me be a light in this. God will, right? instead of going, am I allowing this value to get in front of the true value? How many of us would let go of something of the world to really grab on to Christ? And that's probably the answer that a lot of us need. Something to think about. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the guidance you give us, for the position you point us in. Help us, dear God, to be that and to do that. We want to make sure you're the only value in our lives and everything else just goes through you, that we make sure we're doing exactly what you tell us and not allowing other things to have a say. This relationship we have with you is so precious, dear Lord, and we want to make sure we are following every aspect of every word that you have given us in it. So let us go through this to check, to make sure it's always and completely in line with you, and then let us make us check ourselves to make sure we're in complete line with it. As we leave out here today, we ask for blessings on those who are struggling, those who are in and out the hospital, those who are having hard times in their families, those who are struggling with mental situations, those who are struggling with any chemical or any substance or anything like that, dear Lord. Help us be there for one another in you, to encourage by your spirit, dear Lord. Help us to realize time is short and not just allow life to hinder us and stop us, for us to live with that urgency of ministering and encouraging and being there for one another. Can't thank you enough for all that you continue to do. And we love you so much. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen. Thank you all.